Welcome to the Inside Light podcast, a space for healing, self-connection, and all things spiritual. I'm Terry, also known in the sober world as Sassy Sober Mum, and I believe that within each of us lives a guiding light, a quiet, powerful presence that always knows the way. Here, we'll explore the many paths back to that light. Together, we'll dive into stories of healing, practices that bring us home to ourselves, and conversations about awakening. Those moments when we remember who we truly are. Whether you're seeking clarity, courage, or simply a reminder that you are not alone on your journey of life, this podcast is here to hold space for you. Because the light inside you has never gone out. It's always been guiding you, waiting for you to come back home. This is the Inside Light podcast. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to the Inside Light podcast. This week, I'm really excited because I've got my first special guest. And just to introduce her, I'm joined by Emma Sullivan, who is a soulful coach, an intuitive healer who helps women heal from within. Through her unique blend of intuitive tarot, timeline hypnosis, energy work, and soulful coaching, Emma guides others to release old patterns, reconnect with their intuition, and realign with their truth and purpose. Her work is all about helping women step into their power and live with clarity and confidence. There's the intro, Emma. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Terry. That's a really great intro. It's awesome. Thank you.
I'm really excited to talk to you today because we've known each other for, well, quite a few months now, haven't we? We've been connected, especially since my spiritual awakening, which has been this year. And you were someone that actually I found out about through a mutual friend, Lucy. And she had a tarot session, I think, with you somewhere, maybe at one of your retreats or an event with you.
Is it a festival?
It might have been a festival somewhere. Perhaps it was in Wimborne, because she mentioned Wimborne, which is where you are, isn't it? So, and she was like, you have to meet this girl called Emma. She's amazing. She does these wonderful intuitive tarot readings. And I started following you and then kind of left it for a bit. And then when I started the spiritual awakening, I was so desperate to find people that could help me understand the path that I was on. And so that's when I really connected with you properly. And I think we did a tarot reading. That was where it all started. So it's been amazing being connected with you. And I'm really excited today because what I don't know is a lot about your story, actually, because we've always mainly focused on me in our sessions, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know you a bit more and hear about some of your fabulous services, because I know that hopefully my listeners will be super interested in checking them out. So you know, for listeners that are meeting you for the first time, who are you and what led you to the world of healing? There we go, big questions.
Thank you so much, Terry. And just want to say it was a pleasure connecting with you. I don't believe in accidents, and I don't believe in coincidences. And I think we all sort of find each other along this path in different ways and shapes and forms. So, yeah. So thanks for having me. So what was the question? Who am I?
Who are you? For the world that doesn't know Emma Sullivan, who are you? And how did you get into healing? Like, what is that story?
It's a story. Okay, well, let's begin. So, like you said, I call myself a soulful coach. Like many people that sort of find themselves in this kind of, I use the word industry, but in this space, we often have many strings to our bow. And we often, have many different modalities. So it finding a job title or like a one word can be really difficult. But yeah, so soulful coach was kind of like the umbrella term for it. And I've been sort of seeing this as my job and taking it quite seriously, probably for the past 3 years. But I've actually kind of like dabbled with different healing modalities and different tools and working with energy for as long as I can remember, really. And I got my first deck of tarot cards when I was like 16. Someone gave them to me. I was fascinated by them. Couldn't really understand it. They were a really complicated deck for any tarot lovers. It's called the Thoth deck by Aleister Crowley. It's got quite like dark connections to it. And it was really hard for me to sort of learn and understand, but I kind of just got this feeling to sort of work with them. And I was always fascinated by these cards. I've still got that particular deck. But growing up, I was always connected really with, alternative or spirituality. So my mum and my grandmother often went to the spiritualist church, or they'd have healing, or they'd go and have readings. Not all the time, but it was just kind of the norm, really. It was kind of just a given, really. I just always believed that there is life after death, or there's something else that we can't sense, see, and feel. And I was always very energy sensitive, so I was never a clairvoyant. I don't see spirit, don't talk to dead people. But claircognizance is something that I've always had, which is just this knowing. And I could also like sense and hear and feel energy, almost like a television being switched on. You know, like the old-fashioned TVs in like the 80s and 90s, when you'd switch it, when the TV would fire up and you'd hear like this crackle and a high-pitched sound. I would feel that and sense that quite a lot as a child, in like if as if somebody was sort of coming past me, or if somebody came into a room, I would kind of sense that energy as well. So I'd feel like different little shifts, but nothing, majorly out of the norm, really. I was just always very sensitive child. And so that kind of bubbled away in the background. I had many different roles, and done many different things in work, and mainly in a corporate environment, really, which I loved and hated in equal amounts. And have had a husband and three children, and sort of managed to sort of transition into, yeah, being a working mum and raising family, and had this like normal 9 to 5, 2.4 children life. But I kind of felt there was something bubbling away in the background. And I went through like quite a big spiritual awakening when I was 31. And yeah, that was quite an experience, and really opened my eyes and my heart, and opened everything up in quite a brutal way. I'd spent 10 years on antidepressants, had suffered hugely with panic disorder and anxiety and low mood, and was just kind of conditioned really to believe that there was a chemical imbalance in my brain. We hear this one quite a lot. And there was a chemical imbalance in my brain. It's probably hereditary, because there is history in my family of mental health issues. And I kind of just had this belief system that there was a chemical imbalance in my brain, and that I should take antidepressants forever, really. My doctor was quite happy for me to do that. But something just didn't sit right within that. I did that for quite a long time, and it did help. I stopped having really bad anxiety. I stopped with the low mood. I was more on a level, but I was completely detached from life, really, from experience. It was kind of like, well, it just numbs you, really. You don't feel the highs, you don't feel the lows, you kind of keep on a level. And I'm not by any means dissing or like bashing medicine, or because in acute situations it's needed 100%. But as a long-term solution, I am really passionate about it not being dished out for long-term solution. So I fell pregnant with my third child and decided that I was not going to take my anxiety medication, that I was going to just do some like really deep healing, and it was time for me to sort of shift and not take them. I was on a very low dose anyway, but I just was like, I don't need this anymore. I don't need it. It was just like a knowing, really. So I went through like a detox period as well as being pregnant. You know, those first few months of being pregnant, you're all over the place, your emotions are all over the place as well. I was working and I had two other children. And I just really was plunged to like the depths, really, of this all of these feelings coming up. And it was actually amazing because I had my son. I was happiest. I was super happy. It was a beautiful experience, sort of completing our family. But I knew there was going to be work to do on me as well. And it's, as you know, it's really hard to be a mum and parent yourself. Like, there was so much. I had children very young, so there was a lot really that I had to process and to deal with, and I was ready really to take on the challenge. I wanted to do it and wasn't really afraid of sort of going to the depths really, but it brought around some amazing gifts. It really opened my intuition. It really helped me to connect to trauma and stuff that had happened in the past and to really understand myself. Rather than just being this like passive person that was just sort of reacting to life, I really sort of shifted and changed into to who I was meant to be, really. And then it made me really sad and quite angry as well, just to think of like how many women, how many people don't really get to experience that, or don't, aren't aware that there's other ways to deal with stuff. But I definitely feel like I was guided on that path to do that. I definitely feel like it was meant to happen. And I remember sort of going through that awakening, and I was in my corporate job, and it was just so strange. Like, I kept seeing like repeating numbers all the time. I just kept on having feelings. I kept on having premonitions about stuff that was going to be said or things that were going to happen. And I really struggled with being in that environment and being around that energy of people. And obviously, if I'd gone to a traditional doctor, they would have said, "Yeah, you need to you need to get back on your tablets," or they would have said that this is like anxiety or whatever. But I just knew it wasn't. I knew it wasn't. I just knew that I was going to a different level in life, and that I was experiencing something very different and profound for me, and that things just weren't going to be the same again. So yeah, that's a little bit of the story. I got made redundant from my job in 2017. That was quite brutal. My husband and I both worked at the same company, and we thought we'd be there forever. Although that would have been pretty awful looking back. But my life was very different. I was a manager there. I'd been there for over 10 years. I had a company car and I had all these lovely things, golden handcuffs, I like to call them, but it was great. But it was hard work, very hard work. And then we both got made redundant at the same time, and it kind of turned our lives upside down. But I just wasn't really worried about it, to be honest. I just knew that it was as it was meant to be, really. Kind of had a feeling it was going to happen. And it gave me the freedom and the opportunity to really think about what I was here to do. Like, what is going to make me happy? Because it's not like money was not going to be, it's great, but it was not going to fulfill me. And I just feel like I have to have a purpose, and I have to live and work from my purpose. Otherwise, I'm never going to feel like it's right. So I went off and I did some different courses. I went into coaching and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, learning how the brain interprets information and how programming affects how we make our decisions. And then I did hypnotherapy. And hypnotherapy was really fundamental for me to help me deal with anxiety and to really break those cycles of thought that I was living from. So I really wanted to be able to give that gift to other people. So I went into that and went back to practicing Reiki. I'd trained as a Reiki practitioner, a Reiki master when I was really young. I was like 18 when I started working with Reiki. Yeah, so it's a bit out the norm, really. So I went back and did that, did various other courses and just sort of testing the waters. But all of this was also to help me. So I was literally just absorbing all of the different information and trying all the different things. I've literally tried everything, which was like non-prescription drugs and self-medication, prescription drugs, plant medicine, breath work, yoga, meditation, all of these different things to try and find the one thing that was going to be the modality that was going to fix me, and that I could share with other people. But that one thing doesn't actually exist.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. So it's the end. So it's been a journey of like trying and testing all these different things and, not so great things too, and learning and being able to bring it together to work with people on a similar journey.
Wow, there's so much there. I'm curious because for you almost had you had an environment when you were younger where your mum and grandma were obviously quite spiritual, so you were exposed to spirituality more than perhaps the average person. And then what it was like to have this spiritual awakening. I think you said you were 31. Was it, what would just describe, I know it's a big thing, but just because I'm not even a year into my own awakening. What was that like for you? And I know we've talked about this before as well, feeling a bit like, it just feels a bit like you're picked up and plucked in and put into it. Like an alternative alien universe or something, where everybody else is believing something and you believe something completely differently. And that's quite weird. I'm just curious about what it was like for you, though, the nuts and bolts of that. Especially, I mean, did it help that you had at least some kind of almost a bit like a framework because your family was a bit more spiritual? Whereas for me, for example, like none of my fam like My family, my dad was religious, but nobody was spiritual at all, really.
Well, I think so. It kind of, I think that when you go through something like that, the more you know, the less you know. Like the more you learn, the less you know, if that makes sense. So, it was, I kind of, I suppose I did have a bit of a head start. But I suppose, the stuff that like my mum, bless her, and my grandmother was, it was more sort of like traditional, the spiritualist church, Christian spiritualist church that they would go to. But it's kind of like Christian based. It doesn't really cover sort of spiritual awakening. I didn't really know much about an awakening as it, they were more sort of talking about the spirit world and life after death. Which kind of didn't really, funny I should say that in the sort of line of work I'm in, but didn't really interest me that much in some ways. I just thought, okay, well, that's, we're never gonna, know for sure. It's all our individual experiences, but I'd always had been, a believer in that. But in terms of what it was like, the spiritual awakening, it kind of didn't, it happened in kind of stages. But it really changed just the way I saw the world, the way I saw my role in the world, the way I saw other people. Like I became super in tune with other people's energy, like how what they were carrying. And also really the people that I didn't want to be near as well. Like my senses just became really heightened, and it was difficult. I mean, I've always struggled with being labelled as oversensitive. I was always called it as a kid, like I'm oversensitive. So it just heightened that. So it wasn't actually an enjoyable experience. I had went through something, so I sort of went through the awakening, and then a few years after that, went through something called the Dark Night of the Soul.
I've heard about this. Yeah,
Yeah,
I've heard
which
about.
was very different. Like, if I'd spoken to somebody in a, I don't know, sort of a standard professional type of role, they would class it as depression. But I'd had depression. I've been to the depths. I know what depression felt like. This wasn't. It was like a feeling. It's like it's an existential crisis, I suppose. It's like a feeling that I just couldn't shift, like this weird energy that was in the pit of my stomach. And it was not a nice experience at all. That lasted about 6 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it lasted about 6 months where I just was like, oh yeah, it's really hard to explain. But I just was just very aware of our sort of limited time here and on this particular journey anyway, and that there was some big sort of shifts and changes happening in the world as a whole. That's the only way I could sort of describe it. Like, things are changing quite a lot in on our planet and in the world and around me. And yeah, but also it was like a massive nudge to continue on my journey and to work with other people. It was like I couldn't turn around and go back.
Yeah,
Couldn't
that's
turn around and go
the thing.
back. Yeah, it's like
Once
things
you
just weren't
see
going to
it,
be the same.
you can't unsee it. It's that sort of feeling, isn't it? Because recently I spoke to a friend who is relatively non-spiritual, I'd say. And I was talking about my awakening, and she said, "But what happens when you just stop believing in this stuff? And, do you think you'll go back to feeling quite, feeling despair and a bit depressed?" Because before I went through my awakening, obviously my child went into burnout, and our house became like a crisis zone. And I definitely felt the lowest that I felt in a long time just before that awakening happened. I realize now, same as you, don't believe in consequences. It was all meant to happen that way. I think a lot of people's awakenings do happen after maybe trauma or, some difficult circumstances or burnout and things like that. So I was kind of describing this to my friend that I'd been in this difficult place. And well, she knew that anyway, but that was trying to explain my new, like how the world looked to me now that I've had this shift with my spiritual awakening. And then she said, "But what happens if if you stop believing this sort of thing?" And it was really interesting, that question, because I instinctively just straight away said, "But you can't go back. Like, once you've had this shift in the way that you perceive the world and you're in it, you don't go back. It's an internal, it's a shift. It's difficult to explain, but it was interesting that she, and I can understand why she thought that, but she thought, well, actually, if you stop believing this, will you just go back to where you were, which is quite sad, and how will you cope with that?" And it was sort of like, God, it really emphasized
when
it.
your delulu wears off.
Yeah, exactly. When this weird journey that you're on gets boring, then what happens then? And it was just a really interesting question, because I thought, wow, it really illustrated how much people, I suppose, if you've not gone through an awakening, you don't understand what it involves and how much it does change everything.
It really does,
Yeah.
and I feel that, like what you're saying is, yeah, completely right. When you go through a big stress, big stressful testing time in life, or trauma or grief, it really shifts and changes you
Yeah.
anyway, dependent, no matter if you believe in a higher power or you don't, it changes you anyway, and how you see the world and how you see life and your part in it. And yeah, I completely agree, resonate with that. And but yeah, it's a funny question, isn't it? What do you can't really go back. Yeah,
Yeah.
I suppose. But it's also personal as well, and it's nice to hear other people's stories and experiences, and there'll be so many things that we'll have in common, and so many things that we'll experience differently. And I suppose that also comes down to what you perceive and what your belief systems are. believe that the universe will show you metaphorically things that you resonate with to get you and nudge you into the path or onto the path that you're meant to be. So everyone's experience will be so different. You'll have people that will, connect with and resonate with working with angels, people that work with energy, people that work with different belief systems as well. And I just believe that actually it's all the same thing. It's energy. And it's like when I work with the tarot, it took me ages to come out of the closet and say that I did tarot readings for people. I really struggled to do that because of my background in corporate, because my dad is a Muslim. So he's not that I was ever, privy, like part of that sort of culture. I didn't really know much about it, but his belief systems are very different. And I think because I'd been sort of conditioned into this corporate world for quite a long time as well, I found it really cringe and really hard to say, this is what I do. I do coaching and I help people, and I help people in ways that are out of the norm. And it, like, to put that out on social media and to come out and say that, I found really tough. That was probably one of my biggest challenges. But every time I did it, I'd be presented with something else that would help me. So I knew I just had to trust the path and go with it. And if you'd have said years ago that I'd be working with, helping people in this way, I just would never have believed it. But it feels like it's absolutely what I was supposed to be here and to do.
I relate to that so much. I mean, we've talked about this anyway, in our sessions and things, but or in our kind of audio chats, but I'm exactly the same. I there is a bit of an anxiety about doing this sort of work, or just not even doing this sort of work, having these types of beliefs. It's I guess the world is very quick to shut it down, and we go down the science route, and which, by the way, I think actually science is starting to prove, isn't it, with quantum
Yeah, there is
and stuff,
massively bridge.
that this is
There's a
all,
yeah,
that
there's a
there is
huge
this
bridge
energy. Yes.
in between science and spirituality, and that's kind of like
Yes.
where I see myself sitting. So I feel like spirit or energy or guides or whatever, they come in and help, and they sort of guide me to use practical tools for people. But I'm sort of getting that nudge from there. But it totally is blended, and there's massive space for both to coexist as well. And people are very dismissive. I've had people say, "Oh, you don't believe in that, do you? You don't actually believe that when you're doing a tarot reading and this message is coming through." And I'm like, well, I don't really remember the readings that I do. It is just a tool. I've had people pop up on my social media accusing me of being demonic, working with dark forces, that I need Jesus, and like, and I sort of explain and say, well, do you know what? It kind of all is the same thing. It's the intention that's behind it. Tarot is just a tool. It's pictures on cards that are, it's translating energy between two people, and you're setting the intention that you're gonna provide a reading and tune into what they need to know. And the stuff that comes through is incredible. Even I'm like, I don't even know what how you know where this a lot of this comes from, but when it lands and it really helps people and it really creates a shift and a difference within them, then it's the intention behind it is all wonderful. And there's it's not it's all to do with intention. Like, everything is to do with intention, but we use these different tools to help.
Which, to be fair, we've really been tuned into this for hundreds of thousands, millions probably of years, really. I mean, this is not new, is it? It's just that I think, and I also think as well that religion and spirituality are not mutually exclusive, but people get confused by that. So when I talk about my spiritual awakening, one of the things that comes up is people will say, oh, so, do you want to go to the church now then? And they just automatically think spiritual awakening means that Christianity or something like that. And it's like, no, it's, people just love to put things in a box, don't they, that they understand. I think that's really where a lot of that comes from.
I
And
think so. But you know what? There's no doubt about the fact that our planet, our experience, our existence is going through a huge, massive shift. All of this stuff that's been talked about a lot more openly in the, you know, the media and the mainstream about, you know, people waking up. It sounds really cliche. I've heard it so much, you know, people waking up or the Great Awakening, things like that. It's really just how humans are evolving and we're tapping into our senses that have actually already been there. You know, like years ago, thousands of years ago, humans relied on energy and senses and their, you know, they're being able to translate and pick up the unseen and work with the seasons and the cycles and nature and the stars. And you know, we're just kind of evolving and changing, but our consciousness is raising. And I just think there's so many people exploring different ways, and wanting to know about the greater world around us. You know, what would be the point if we just came here and then lived and then died and then that was it? Like.
Well, exactly. And I was thinking that when you were talking about when people get alarmed about, well, is that, you don't believe that, do you? Now I feel like I can't believe that people genuinely buy into the fact that we come here one life, there's no other life on any other planet, there's nothing else out there really, and we just die and rot in the ground. I'm just like, how can you honestly, I don't mean to sound really judgmental, but it's just that everything is so magical. Like, it just even sitting in this room talking to you, like our human beings are just so magical. Like, everything about us is amazing. And the way that our bodies work and heal themselves, and these inner feelings and knowings that we get, or and all these other senses. It's just, yeah, it's and it's just the fact that we can't measure anything anyway outside of, I don't know exactly how far we can measure, but we can't measure everything, right? We can't even get to the bottom of the sea. We don't even know how
Oh
deep
my gosh,
the sea is. I mean, we just
there's
don't
so
know
much.
so much stuff, but yet we're so quick to sort of shut down and any kind of alternative beliefs. And it's interesting because it'd be interesting your thoughts on this, because I am still very new in the spiritual world, but I'm obviously, learning a lot, reading a lot, really pouring myself in, to just kind of getting to know everything I can, to help me, put the pieces together, of why I'm here, why I chose to come here at this particular time, right, in where we are on the planet now. And I'm interested because I feel a bit like when I was younger, there was the odd thing here and there. There was the odd reincarnation story in the News of the World paper, which I was very fascinated by, of these young children, which is actually really well documented now. There's a lot of amazing documentation going around on this, but children that remember their previous lives, they remember their previous families, they remember, facts and information that they just wouldn't be able to know otherwise, and so there was the odd bit of that. And then of course there were those sorts of programs on TV where there's a poltergeist, because when you were talking about that thing at the beginning with the fuzzy TV, I was thinking of the poltergeist. That was a big film when I was growing up.
Which
That's
used to sit that little lady say, "Carry on."
Through the telly, like quite scary. But so there was a lot of that, like paranormal activity type stuff, but there wasn't, it feels like today, that there is, it's more accessible. There are more women's circles. There are more people going to yoga. There are more people going on retreats, doing meditation retreats. There are more books. There are more oracle cards. There are more spiritual teachers. Like, I don't know, it just feels like it's really opening up. Is that what your feeling is?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, because it's in the mainstream so much more. We've got social media and people are sharing their stories, and also in combination with people's experiences where they're starting to get this connection to the greater consciousness or the, like a higher power. They're starting to notice the signs. They're starting to listen to their body, listen to their intuition, understand why things aren't working out, why doors keep shutting, why they keep repeating the same thing over and over again, and questioning the deeper meanings of things. Absolutely. I mean, when I was growing up, I've still got a couple of the books here. So my nana gave me a couple of them. One of them a book that she had given me was called Talking to Heaven by a quite a famous medium in the States called James Van Praagh. And I was fascinated by this book, and it was just about experiences that he'd had, connecting with loved ones that have passed. And it was always just lovely to have that reassurance and that reaffirmation that the things that I believed in and my experiences were true. And I've got sort of my nana's old books, Harry Edwards, which is like an old sort of spiritual healing. So all of that is coming back up to the surface as well, but it's combining with all these different other modalities. I know, like, some of the experiences that I've had and what sort of led me on that on the path. I went to see a medium. My mum passed away, sadly, when I was 17 and she was 39. I think that sort of led to a, well, that was massively life-changing, altered the course of my life forever. And she's part of the reason why I do what I do as well. She had her own struggles. She was a highly sensitive person. She has some psychic ability too, but she really struggled with life. And I saw sort of a lot of the stuff that she'd gone through. And I think that's a lot of my drive as well to help women. I think perhaps if there had been this knowledge and understanding, sort of around that time, then maybe she would have explored different, healing modalities and would have been, it would have maybe been a different story. But I believe everything happens for a reason. And sort of she's with me and sort of pushing me forward with that as well, because
Oh, so
this
lovely.
is why I feel that it's really important to help women really connect with themselves, to listen to their bodies and to understand their and hear their own intuition, not shove everything down. So yeah, I can't remember the original question,
Yeah, don't
before.
worry, because that leads. I was thinking when you were talking there, it's really no coincidence that we're all connected, and I notice other connections in my life as well that are really popping up and blossoming in this, what I think is for me a very special year. A year ago, I was in a really different place. We were talking just before we came online. My daughter went into burnout, and I just couldn't find. For a small amount of time, I couldn't find my way out of the little tunnel that I was in. And it's just crazy that year on from that time, I've been through a spiritual awakening. I've lost my dad. And I've lost my dad, but I feel like I've been okay with that because it happened. It almost coincided with this new way of seeing the world and feeling connected to him and connected to my parents, even though they've both passed over. And you helped me a bit with that, when we had a reading, some of that stuff came up, which you probably don't remember because you don't remember readings, you were saying. But anyway, just to, it was very powerful for me. But I think this thing that you're talking about is, I feel it's so anchored in me as well. The helping women, it's really part of the reason why I feel like I'm here too. I already help women with their, the sobriety journey, and my other focus is helping women with, not drinking and find community, get sisterhood, get connected, and to help us, heal that conditioning that we were talking about earlier. It's the conditioning to drink, and when you stop drinking, you're the one that's the strange one for not drinking, and that
But it
comes.
really must go hand in hand, Terry, as well, because what you're doing is helping people get in touch with themselves, find out who they are behind, without alcohol. And it is part of, a lot of people, when they start going through an awakening, their body, their taste changes. They can't tolerate alcohol the same. They can't, tolerate different foods, but alcohol does really lower your vibration. Alcohol is, well known, well documented to block off your connection to to source, to yourself. It really suppresses a lot of stuff. So I suppose when people remove that from their lives and they start to really hear themselves, and automatically they're going to go on this healing journey because they're going to start self-reflection, dealing with things from the past, and processing all of this stuff, and then and going on a healing journey. So it must all go hand in hand with
Yeah, it's
it.
interesting because it's like an awakening, stopping drinking, like what you're describing. It's like an awakening. And I'm wondering, For me now, and you will obviously really connect with this, but I've been thinking a lot about, why I'm here, why, what is my purpose? What is my life's calling? Like, why did I, like I said, why did I come to the planet now? And I think that, there is this epidemic with certainly with the over drinking, but more than that, I think outside of that, that's just part of it for some people. I think there is this disconnection, this feminine disconnection, where we, for a very long time as women, we've been kept small and be a good girl and all that stuff. We've been raised with this set of rules that we're meant to sort of live by that I don't feel like is as prevalent in the male world. It's very much the expectation of how women should behave, how women should think, what women should do, and all this stuff. So, that kind of patriarchy, which is, fallen away, it still has its marks on us. And I think that for women, we're so powerful, but we're not connected to our intuition. And I think the drinking comes into that then, because people feel so disconnected from themselves. They just want to, they're needing to numb out, how the fact that they're something's not sitting right, and they don't really know where to go with it. So I feel like, I wonder how many people that actually stop drinking and have this mini awakening, I wonder how many of them will actually go on and have a full spiritual
Well, yeah,
awakening
it's like a
after
chicken
this.
and egg situation,
Yeah,
really, isn't
it's
it? Because,
fascinating to
yeah,
think
when your
about.
consciousness starts changing and the way you see the world changing and your energy shifts, then, then you start to look at your habits, your relationships, what's happening, what, your relationship with alcohol, your relationship with people, what's serving you, what's not. And then you've also got, going through that, then you would, cut out those things, and then, or not. But then you also, by cutting those out, you would then go through that awakening process as well, because it's like getting in touch with life again, I suppose, isn't it? So yeah,
Exactly.
what you do is, on there's so much need for all types of healers, all types of work, all types of modalities. And it can be really overwhelming because there's so many different types of healing, different types of, people are doing readings and coaching and all of these different types of things. And it can be, I suppose, quite overwhelming if you're sort of coming into this space and world and then thinking which direction to go in, because there's also a lot of nonsense. And I think that kind of gives it a bad name, because there's no regulation, there's no governing body, there's no, like, there's no woman. There's, so it does also attract people that are perhaps not working with the highest
Not as
intention. So you've
genuine.
always got to go with using discernment, and always got to go with, like, what feels right. And if something doesn't, 100% sit with you, you can take it and, have it, keep exploring. That's the beauty of it. But saying that, I do, believe that so many things are, it's just energy, it's just frequency and energy, and it's shifting and changing. And it's amazing for us to be on this journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in terms of one of the things I just wanted to understand, because it's come up and I've actually had some of this, I've done some of this work with you and I really loved it. But would you be able to explain what timeline hypnosis is?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we perceive time very differently. All of us perceive time differently. I think, I don't know if you remember in your session, we would have ascertained sort of like where you see the past and the future in relation to your body, which I find really, really fascinating. And it's, yeah, it's to do with how your brain perceives where the past is and where the future is. And then I suppose the ethos and the basis of timeline therapy is for you to use your conscious awareness and your mind to go above and travel along the timeline of your life. And it gives you a safe space to be able to observe different events and to look at how we can work from that space to dissolve the negative charge that we have carried forward from different events, which is, part of the human experience. But a lot of us are walking around with these full cups. Timeline therapy focuses on dissolving major negative emotions: anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt. And there's a lot of us, walking around with topped up with anger from events from way back in the past, that it's just adding to this cup. When actually, if we could look at emptying the cup in some way, and then every experience we are meeting with new eyes, rather than with this backlog of charge that we're carrying from something that happened 10 years ago. So when someone pulls out in front of you, or somebody is rude to you, you're like filled with you're full up already. So it's a really beautiful process. It's just another way of using hypnotherapy and the power of the mind. And I'm really fascinated, although I love to work with the spirit side of things, I don't see that as my sole purpose and sole offering, because I think there's so much power we can have ourselves to create change, and we just need those tools as well and to help us. So by using hypnotherapy and timeline therapy, we get to experience things that have happened from a safe space. So you can imagine that if you think about something that makes you really angry or sad, or think about a memory, or think about something that you're scared of, you can bring on those feelings just by thinking about it. So if you think about what's happened, think about anxiety, think about a situation, your heart will race, your palms will start to sweat. Your body has a physiological response to the thought. So our thoughts definitely create our reality. And timeline therapy just allows, like a beautiful session where you just relax the body, we work with the mind, and you go back through some events, and we ask the subconscious to answer the questions. And it's really fascinating, because some of the questions will be like, when did you first feel anger? Was it before you were born or after you were born? And that's really interesting. So I know you and I both have this fascination with the past life regression and QHHT, and that's really fascinating. The answers that people are surprised that comes up as well, their automatic response, like, I never even thought that I would say that this happened 2 lifetimes ago, something like that. But saying that, I don't necessarily believe that doing too much work on the past stuff, it is as beneficial as dealing with the sort of the here and now. But it is really interesting for you as a person to understand where some of these roots might have been planted, and to I mean, my job as a facilitator is to help you let go, in basic terms, to let go, so that you can live in the present moment, and that you can process healing that your body wants to do, but our mind blocks us. So yeah, so we go back along the timeline, and then we can use it to go forward as well, to visualize yourself in the future, to visualize yourself having achieved whatever the goal is, or having dissolved anxiety, phobia, fear. Obviously, my personal experience with being diagnosed with a panic disorder and dealing with like nervous system breakdown definitely drives that forward, because it's an awful thing to have to deal with and to cope with. So, as many people as I can help with to get rid of unnecessary anxiety, I'll be happy. The more people I can help with that. So timeline therapy is, in a nutshell, that's what it is, and it's part and parcel of my coaching tools.
I loved it. I love the visualization aspect of it. I've done a few different visualization things with you, and I think they're really powerful, and it is quite weird what comes up. There is that element where it's like, oh God, what's that? Or, where did that come from? But yeah, it just shows you that if you can, th there's so much more to access, really. There's so much going on, but I guess perhaps unless we're in this situation where we're awakened and we're open and we're listening in our universe and looking and noticing signs and all of these things that come, I think, with being spiritually open, you can just see how you're just quite, otherwise you're quite tunnel vision. You just don't think about these sorts of things. Perhaps these thoughts come up, or I don't know, there might be all kinds of different types of thoughts that come up, and we just discard them, or we just think, oh, that's silly, or whatever we do. And I'm trying really hard not to do that with my children. You know, when they express something or when they ask questions, I'm trying to be very mindful of not shutting things down, and you know what I mean? Because I'm aware of how much that can happen, and then that can shut off those connections. And I think that's what happens with intuition. We get told how to feel as kids, and we get told when our feelings aren't right or they're not what is expected. And you know, it all starts, isn't it, in our early life. And so we don't know how we feel. And then when decisions, we're controlled all the way through childhood, essentially. And then at 18, it's like, right, well, go and get a job and start, you know, kind of fending for yourself type of thing. And it's like, well, I've spent all this time being told what to do and how to feel. I don't know what that connection is, actually. And you know, I'm noticing many women in their 40s are suddenly, you know, maybe they're stopping drinking, or they're getting perimenopause, or they're realizing their kids are autistic ADHD and that they're also autistic ADHD. And all of these things are sort of starting to happen, which we could tick a lot of those boxes, right? But you know, all these things are starting to happen, and I think people are just starting to feel we want more. Like, we want more than this. We want to get
We're
off
here
this
for so much
treadmill.
more. We're here for so much more. Like what you're saying, yeah, it's absolutely spot on. For by the time we're seven, our world view is programmed by what we're hearing, seeing, feeling, experiencing from our parents. And if you didn't quite have a functional or a stable home life, then you're operating sort of from the back foot really as well. So sadly lots of us experience that, but we take on the views of other people, and we take on so it's really about unlearning as well. It's unwinding all of this stuff and just realizing, questioning, where did this belief come from? And what's actually helping me? Because if you constantly, we've all got this inner critic and the inner cheerleader. And for me, for such a long time, that inner critic was so loud. And I'm sure so many people can relate. But every time I'd try and do something or feel like I was sort of, stepping up or stepping into my power, then I would shut myself down or stop myself or sabotage it. Really, there's so much that we stop ourselves doing for fear. Sometimes we're scared of success. We're scared of what might happen if we actually go all out and, do the things that we want to do and want to achieve. And we keep ourselves stuck because fear, because our body and our minds and our nervous system has got to learn to operate in a certain framework that it feels like jumping off a cliff, like if you're going to do something completely different. So yeah, it's fascinating.
It's also as well, I think some of that again is not just conditioned from our own life, but culturally, you know, all around the witch hunt times, you know, when we went after witches, the witch wound that I think some of us carry as well, especially if we are healers. It's likely that I think we would have been healers in other lifetimes, or we might have been connected to our intuition in other lifetimes. And so if we weren't persecuted ourselves for being witches and having different views, there was a culture around that time which turned women against women. And, you know, that really changed, I think, the culture of the way that we step into our power and don't step into our power. And I feel like we feel those ripple effects now, even now. It's just interesting, isn't it? I could talk about this all day.
We so could. We'll have to do a part two.
We will, yeah, I'm sure we will. Maybe part two, part three, part four, plenty of parts. But just to wrap up, really, I think if someone was feeling stuck or disconnected, what's one small step that they can take today to start their healing journey?
Meditate. Meditate like is always gonna be a core part of your journey, no matter where you are, because it's gonna allow that space for things to come up. It's gonna allow you some time to calm down and manage stress. And however that looks, so it doesn't even need to be something that's really strict, or intimidating, or clearing your mind and not thinking of anything. It's literally just creating 5 or 10 minutes where you just sit either with, if it's music, if it's, whatever it is that helps you to focus on one thing for a little while, that's really gonna help you to listen to what's coming up and where it's coming from. And that is gonna help you to tap into your intuition as well. So I suppose that's my top tip. And also to find like minds. Like, we're in this place where we're so reachable, we're so contactable, everything is accessible. But everybody, so many people are lonely, so many people are isolated, so many people think that they're going through an experience by themselves. So really set the intention that you are going to connect with people on the same frequency as you, and the same, having the same sort of experience that you can share with, because that's a really big part of it. And once you are open to that, the universe and life will put people in your path, or you'll meet people that you can really resonate with and feel a little less lonely. Because it can be isolating when you don't, when your beliefs change, and what you want to tolerate and what you want to be around changes, and how you connect with people that you may have always had around you changes. It can feel like you're going a bit stir crazy, and you're quite, can be quite isolating. So yeah. Sorry, that's two tips.
No, it's perfect. And you've actually got a community, haven't you? Why don't you tell us a bit about how we can find your community and
I
what that
have,
involves?
yeah. So I launched in September. I set up Soul Circle, which is a membership that I set with the intention of bringing in like-minded women. So not just for women that are in like spiritual entrepreneurs, although it's an amazing place for those. So people that are coaches, healers, therapists, and that are sort of following their sort of soul path and creating business from it. It's also for women that just want to explore different modalities. So inside that, I have my tarot course that people can access and they can learn in their own time. There's a community where people can talk and connect with each other. We also, it's based on connection, healing, and growth, those three pillars. So growth is the courses that I put in there that people can access, and sort of group coaching for people that perhaps don't have access to work with somebody one-to-one. So I put in my hypnotherapy collection in there as well, so people can listen to that in their own time, different hypnotherapy tracks for different things. And then there's a live call every single month as well, where we get together and we do a little virtual circle and we do meditation and we can share. So kind of like a gym membership, but for the soul.
I love that's
So
brilliant.
yeah, that's what I really am focusing on as well, is like sort of creating this community and sharing all those offerings in there for people to really get in touch with their purpose and their gifts and inspire them to build on it.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And what about in terms of contacting you outside of that community? Where can we find you?
So I'm on Instagram at Soulful Coaching UK, or my website, which is www.emma-sullivan.com. So I sometimes host retreats and sort of in-person circles as well as the online stuff. So you can see on the website, or you can just reach out, send me an email, contact me on social media. Always open to any questions or people that want to find out a little bit more about the journey.
Yeah, and you regularly do kind of pop-ups as well, don't you? Local events. There's something, are you doing something at Merley? Is it Merley House?
Yeah, so I do go and read tarot at events, sort of like well-being days or like holistic fairs. I'll go along with my tarot cards and offer readings there. I don't so much anymore, so I do a couple of those. But yes, yeah, so I've got one coming up at in Merley this month, and I have a retreat that's happening in January. So January 2026, which is a 3-day retreat at the Merkabah over. In the Dorset countryside. So that is called Wishcraft, and that is all about resetting yourself and realigning yourself for the year ahead. But we're also going to use a bit of magic. So we're going to work with tarot, we're going to look at the birth charts, we're going to look at setting intentions for the year ahead. So yeah, really excited about
Oh,
hosting that too.
yeah, sounds amazing. Oh, there's so much, offering so much. Emma, been delightful talking to you. I'm so happy that you're my first guest as well. And I'm definitely gonna ask you to come on again and
There's
share
so
a
much. We
little
have literally so much to talk about, so
bit.
much to uncover. Like we could, there's so many different pathways we can go down and explore. But I hope, hope that it reaches whoever needs it today in our conversations. It's amazing talking to you as always, and I really appreciate you having me on. I'm honoured.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolute pleasure.
Well, that was such a pleasure. Doing that interview with Emma yesterday was just brilliant. She's such an interesting person. She has so much to offer, so much to share. And as she mentioned, you can find her community, and all of her wonderful, energetic, and healing gifts at her website, and I will put all of the information in the show notes for you so that you can easily find her. And before I go, before we wrap up this week, I wanted to just ask a question to prompt some reflection so that you can tap into some of your own inner guidance. You can find some of your own inside light. That's really what this whole show is about. And so when you think about your timeline, your own timeline, your childhood, perhaps your ancestors that might be really far down towards the, the left side or the right side, wherever you see that timeline going backwards, your collective patterns, where do you sense the feminine wound showing up? And we talked about this in the podcast. So this might be showing up in ways where you silence yourself. Perhaps you might be overgiving. Maybe you've got self-doubt. Maybe you're afraid to say something that you really want to say. You're afraid to speak up. Perhaps you feel there's a disconnection from your intuition. And so, thinking about that and reflecting on that, and ideally writing that down, how might you begin to bring compassion, balance, or voice to that part of your story now? Really interesting question. Until I'd done this timeline therapy, I'd never thought about my life or all of my lives collectively. As a soul timeline where this timeline contained all of my life events, all of my thoughts, all of my feelings, and all of my other lives, my past and future, and where there might be those blips of anger or pain or any kind of different wounds that I might be carrying. And we mentioned the feminine wound. The women listening to this show will really probably relate to that feminine wound where, following the patriarchy and having to keep quiet, keep small, know our place. We feel the reverberations of that in our soul. We carry those wounds. So just thinking about your own timeline, thinking about the childhood, thinking about where you are in your life now on your timeline, how might you bring compassion, balance, or a voice to that part of your story today? And good luck with that. I am actually going to set up an email address so that people can email me their findings or their questions, or just make any contact really. Say hello. And until next time, I hope you have a really wonderful week.